On behalf of Kevin Allison and also the family members of Edna, we do want to extend to you our appreciation, our gratitude for those who have come here this afternoon to this funeral service of Edna. As we, of course, have known her in bygone years, your presence is very much appreciated. We are assembled in the house of God before the eternal God, before the one who is the judge of the living and the dead, before the one who is the Ancient of Days, who knows no change, even if though we are given to change, when we see change and decay all around us. Of course, we come to fondly remember Edna in various ways, and yet we come to remind ourselves of life itself, and the brevity of life, and the shortness of life. It is certainly the prayer of Kevin, I know, and also I can say of Edna, that God himself would draw near to us, and to speak through his gracious and his holy word. Edna passed away on the 15th of August 2017 on the front of the order of service. There is the text, to be with Christ, which is far better. We know that through her faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, as we shall hear something about very shortly, for her it was a departure from the fading tabernacle into the presence of God and into the very sublime glory of eternity. And so we are thankful for her life, more so for that spiritual life, and for the gift of God that was hers through the Lord Jesus Christ. Personally speaking, it is a privilege to lead the meeting. Of course, myself, along with other siblings, refer to her affectionately as Nan, as she was for those many years. And I'd just like to pass on, of course, my sympathies to Kev once more and the family members, and assure them of prayerfulness, and we trust the Lord himself will undertake and be gracious unto us today. Kevin would like to give a word of thanks to Leaside House for their care and their kindness to Edna during her stay there over the last while, and also to those within the church, to Ian and Helen especially, for their help, for Alison and for those who have shown their assistance and have extended their sympathies to them at this difficult time. And again, we do pray God's presence and portion would be known. Kevin would like me to read out some things which he gave to me in respect to his own thoughts and feelings towards, of course, his mother, and my own thoughts as well, being grandson. Kathleen Edna Irene Torren, of course, affectionately known as Edna to those who knew her best, was born on the 13th of March 1927 to Mr. and Mrs. Taylor at the Creamery Cottages, Plumpton, which most of us know is near to the town of Lewes. It is here that she attended both school for her education and Sunday school as well. It was a local Congregationalist church. Her childhood, for as much as we know for knowledge, was happy and was a contented one. When she was 15 in 1942, of course, being in the very midst of World War II, her family experienced something of the change and the upheaval that war brings to any nation, and of course enforcing the very shortness of life itself. There was a bomb which landed in a field not far from the cottage and exploded, and it shook the whole cottage. The ceiling fell in, the glass was shattered. They were made homeless as a result and moved further afield. Along with her parents, Edna and her two brothers and three sisters moved to garden cottages in the Cliff High Street region and then to Crisp Road, Landport. Mum's younger brother, Alan, was then born. The health of Edna's mum at that stage wasn't too good, so Edna, of course, displaying those characteristics that she was always known for, her caring nature, her loving nature, her helping nature, was there to assist the upbringing of the youngest for those years. She met Ted and Lewis, and they married on the 21st of August 1946. Unable to have any children of their own, they adopted Kevin in 1952 from a children's home in Eastbourne that was called the House of the Good Shepherd. And of course, that's providential. We've sung very much of Christ, who is the King of Love and who is the Good Shepherd of his people, and I imagine unknown to Edna back then, the relevance of that name was something that she would come to treasure so much in future years. It was true to say that Edna was someone, humanly speaking, that was very caring, kind and benevolent individual. I don't think anyone would say otherwise. Kevin, in his own words, and I quote him here, he says, "I couldn't have asked for a better mother, and that I loved her and miss her dearly." And those of us, of course, who are close to Kevin here understand that even if Edna did pass away in old age. The passing away, of course, is never easy, especially when there is that close bond of mother and son. For most of us here, I imagine, her life is remembered fondly for those characteristics which I've mentioned, her care and consideration. There are others here, of course, who are present, myself included, the visiting ministers who know Edna not just as a person, but as a child of God, and one who came to know the Lord Jesus Christ. It was in 1998, a year before my own conversion, that she came to see her need of the Lord Jesus Christ. It was Edna's strong desire that when it came to her funeral, that her testimony would be read. Even though she being dead, the scripture says, is able to speak through her testimony. And this stage of the meeting, I would like to ask Mr. Noel Shields. Pastor Noel Shields was here in Lewis for many years, pastoring the church here in Jarrow Chapel. And of course, you read Edna very well, and was influential, of course, in the way in which the Lord brought Edna to the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to ask him now to come forward and to read Edna's testimony. Thanks.
So before I read the testimony of Edna, I want to say I pass on my sympathy to Kevin and all the family circle on the death of a mother, sister, and a dear friend. Edna had many qualities. She was hardworking, she was loving and kind and good. But what I'm going to tell you here this afternoon was the most important thing about her life, because it's her testimony how she found the Lord Jesus as her Saviour. And it was during my time of ministry, you hear it. I didn't write this. She told Kevin what to write down. So I'm just going to read what Edna put down on paper to tell you, everyone here at the funeral service, how she found Christ and how herself found peace with God through the Lord Jesus. My testimony. When Kevin, my son, started to attend Lewis Free Presbyterian Church, Jarrow Chapel, in October 1998, he asked me if I would like to go with him. I said yes. I have always wanted to go there, but no one I knew would take me. And to add to that, my husband was reluctant for me to go to church in the morning. I could only attend the evening service. Noel Shields was the minister and preacher at Lewis Free Presbyterian Church, Jarrow Chapel, at that time. And one Lord's Day evening at the gospel service, the text Pastor Shields was preaching on was from the Old Testament, Leviticus 22 and verse 21, where it says, "Perfect to be accepted." As I sat through that service, I was getting quite agitated. It really troubled me. I knew I was far from perfect. It worried me so much, I went home greatly troubled. A few days later, I prayed about it and asked the Lord to speak to me. My answer came just a few days later. I was saved by the Lord's grace. Ephesians 2, verse 8 and 9. That day, my whole life was completely changed. Even my friends were saying to me, and my husband too, "You have changed." I said in reply, "The Lord has saved me. It was the best thing that ever happened to me." My son Kevin got saved on Saturday, the 14th of February 1998. And now I have been saved too. It is life-changing to know your sins are forgiven and to know the saving mercy that is found in Jesus Christ. God had saved my soul, and using the text preached in that evening gospel service, "Perfect to be accepted." And now I am on my way to meet the Lord. And then she put a couple of verses in the Bible. Philippians 1 verse 23. "To be with Christ, which is far better." And then a words of a hymn, "Forever with the Lord." And then she said these words at the very end of her testimony. I hope my family take note of this. God bless them all. And these are the words of Edna, who found Christ as her Saviour. I remember preaching that service that particular night. Perfect to be accepted. And only 2 points, but I have some sub-points on them. God's standard, perfection. To love the Lord thy God with all your heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. We are to be a holy people unto the Lord. We are to obey all of the commandments. And then I turned it on the congregation. Well, have you been perfect? Have you always loved the Lord? What about your words? What about your actions? What about your deeds? Have you always been perfect? And everyone has to be honest, and had to be honest that night and said, no, I'm not perfect then. I have sinned against the Lord. And then my second point was God's substitute was Jesus Christ. We need a Saviour, and we need somebody to save us from our sins. And if we repent and trust the Lord Jesus with all of our heart, that Anna here shows in her testimony that she did, he forgives us all of our sins, and he gives us everlasting life. And the Bible says we are accepted in the Beloved. We're not accepted in ourselves. It's not by our works or deeds. It's by the Lord Jesus Christ, the Saviour, who saved us and makes us right with God. And that was the message that I preached on that particular night. And Adam went home, and she found the Lord Jesus as her Savior. And I trust the Lord will bless the words of her testimony to the hearts of everyone here this afternoon. Thank you very much.
We're delighted to have the Reverend Ivan Foster here to bring the Word of God. It was, again, Edna's wish that Mr. Foster would come to bring the message from God's Word. He's been here many times with his dear wife. They've ministered for large periods during the vacancy of the church. And we're very much glad to have you here, despite the circumstances, and we trust that God will bless you as you bring the Word of God.
I would like to turn to one verse found in the book of Psalms, wherein are found words most appropriate to our gathering here. It's the Psalm 116, and it's the verse 15, where you will find these words: precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. We'll consider those words in a moment, but let me first of all just offer my sincere condolences to Kevin and to Alison, friends for a long time, it seems. I know that the passing of Mrs. Turrell will leave a very large gap in their lives. There are members of the wider family here. I don't know you, but to you as well, I would like to offer my condolences. No one who knew Edna could hear of her death without a great sense of loss. She was a very dear lady. I might just say that my wife joins me, although she's at home, not here, but she joins with me in offering these sympathies, for she and Edna grew quite close during our visits, and it was with sadness that we heard of her passing. As Mr. Baker said, Edna not only arranged the hymns for her funeral, but she arranged the preacher as well. And it's a number of months ago now that I got the phone call asking me would I participate in her funeral service. I think she had just really received the diagnosis that indicated that she was very seriously ill and that she hadn't much time left. I wonder, might I ask you, if you got such a word from your doctor, would you set about picking hymns? Would you set about thinking of getting someone to come and preach the gospel at your funeral? It's worth thinking about. And it does tell us a lot about Edna Turrell. But let me come to these words. I might say that I count it a great privilege to be here today, to have been asked by Edna to speak. Indeed, it's one of the greatest honours that is bestowed upon a minister of the gospel, that he has opportunity of officiating at a funeral of one of the saints of God. It's a great honour to be among those who bid a final farewell and who speak words of comfort from God's precious truth to family members. It is an honour. As a preacher now of quite a number of years, I have engaged in funeral services many, many times. And I have always sought to present the Word of God, because my words really bring no comfort. It's only what God says really counts at a time like this. The text, precious in the sight of the Lord, is the death of his saints. I think I better just say a wee word about just what a saint is, because there's common views and notions that today are circulating, and they're not just what the Bible has to say. Edna was a saint. Oh, you will not have heard of any great announcement to that effect, but Edna was a saint. She became a saint, and you heard the date. You heard the circumstances in which he became a saint of God. The word here, saint, simply means a holy person, a sanctified person. Did you not hear in her own words of testimony how people noticed that she was a different person as a result of her conversion? And that sprang from the change that had been wrought within by the grace and power of God when she became a saint. One of God's children. One of God's saved ones. That's what Mrs. Turrell was. There are a number of simple things I just press upon you from this text. The first thing is this. Edna Turrell's death was precious to God. When we consider the price that was paid for her redemption, she was precious to God. Here on earth, the news of her death brought tears. And it brought grief. That's but natural. And that's but proper. But it didn't bring any grief in heaven. It was counted a precious thing to God. And just how precious the death of Edna, her passing from this scene of time into the presence of God, was a precious thing when we consider the price that was paid in order to make it possible for her to go to heaven. Edna Turrell was not redeemed, is not in heaven, because she was kind to others. She was that. But that will not get you to heaven. That will not get you to heaven. And that's what God says. She's not in heaven because she went to church. She's not in heaven because of anything she did. But she's in heaven because she was redeemed, purchased, if I might use that word. She was bought out of sin by something much more wonderful than her good works or her church attendance. I read the words of Peter. Surely they will carry some weight with us. This is what he has to say in his first epistle. You know, if you search the Bible, you will always find a statement from God that deals with just about every matter. And here Peter has this to say. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers. This is what perhaps you might have believed, Peter is saying, told to you by the tradition of your fathers, but he says it's not true. Silver and gold doesn't redeem you. Won't get you ready for heaven. What is it then, Peter, that will ready us for heaven? No, he says, but with the precious blood of Christ, as a lamb without blemish and without spot. Maybe you've wondered, just why did Jesus Christ die on the cross? He was engaged in a work of buying back a people from sin. He was shedding his blood to pay the ransom of their sins. Their sins had incurred a great debt. Those of you who know the Lord's Prayer will know that there in it there is the phrase that forgive us our debts or forgive us our sins. Sin makes you a debtor to God. You've broken His law. You owe God the penalty. But you can't pay it. Edna couldn't pay it. None of us can pay it. But that's what Christ was doing at the cross. He was shedding His blood to pay the price of our redemption. Now look, how precious must Edna have been in God's eyes for Him to send His Son to save her? How precious, therefore, must have been the moment of her death when she who had been redeemed by the blood of Christ was taken from this world into the presence of the Almighty. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints. I'll tell you another reason why we believe that the death of the saints of God are precious in God's sight. There is given us in Acts chapter 7 an account of the first Christian martyr. His name was Stephen. And Stephen preached the gospel to the assembled eldership, leaders of Israel. And he was simply telling the story of Jesus Christ. Well, as is often the case, the simple, straightforward telling of the story of Christ got people angry, and they got angry with Stephen. So angry indeed that they laid hold upon him, they rushed him out of the building and down to that place where executions took place, and they set about killing him. They set about killing him. They stoned him to death. And as he was dying, he uttered some marvelous words. He said this, "Behold, I see the heaven opened, and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God." Those are among the very last words he spoke before the stones killed him. But it's interesting to notice he says, "I see the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God." Now, why do I say that is interesting? Well, in many other portions of the Word of God, we have it explained to us what happened when the Lord Jesus Christ died, rose again, and then ascended to heaven. For instance, in the book of Hebrews, we are told on a number of occasions what took place. Maybe you've never really thought about it. Well, please do so now. Hebrews chapter 1, and we read this in the verse 3. "Who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high." That's repeated, that phrase is repeated in two other places in the book of Hebrews. The Lord Jesus Christ ascended to heaven and he sat down at the right hand of his Father, a place of honor, a place of glory, a place of authority and power. He sat down at the right hand of his Father. Ah, but Stephen says, "I see the Son of Man standing." Why the change of position? Because the Lord Jesus was standing to receive Stephen into his presence. Stephen was about to die. His body would remain on earth, of course, but his spirit, his soul, would ascend to heaven. And the Lord Jesus was standing to receive him. Now, I tell you this, that to me suggests very clearly how precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. Should it ever be our privilege and our honor to meet Her Majesty the Queen? I would like that very much. There's a lot of people in my part of the world, and they wouldn't count it any such thing as an honor, but I would count it an honor to meet her. And when I ushered into her presence, I wouldn't expect her to get up to greet me. But it would be me that would show respect for her, bowing before her. But don't you see here? The Lord Jesus, when one of his own comes into his presence in heaven, he stands up to receive them. That's how precious they are. That's how precious they are. The Son of God stood up to receive Edna because she was precious to him. He had loved her with an everlasting love. And he stood up to welcome her into glory. I'll quickly come to two other simple points. As an illustration of how precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints, I would ask you just to consider the reaction of the angels. We are told in Luke chapter 15, verse 7, verse 10, that when a sinner is converted, there's joy in the presence of the angels. Isn't it worthwhile thinking about the fact that the angels in heaven delight in the preaching of the gospel, and delight even more when the gospel is received and believed, and men and women and young people are converted to faith in Christ? Angels rejoice. Now I'm saying to you that if they rejoice when a saint starts on the journey to heaven, how much more must be the case when the saints arrive in glory and the journey is over? Oh, there's so much that men and women ignore regarding that unseen world. Just you think today that the angels rejoice as they welcomed Edna to glory. One other thing. I think the preciousness of the death of the saint may be seen in the heaven that has been prepared for them. We live in a world in which all too many say, oh, you die, you're put on the ground, and that's the end of you. It's not so. Oh, my friend, it's not so. And it certainly is not so for the child of God. The Lord Jesus Christ, and how familiar these words are, oftentimes read at funeral services, John chapter 14. The Savior says in verse 1, "Let not your heart be troubled. For ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you." Those words were uttered some 2,000 years ago. It must be a wonderful place, since the Lord has been engaged in the preparation of it over all that period of time. There's another quotation in Matthew chapter 25. I'll read that to you, please. Matthew chapter 25, and it's the verse 34. Verse 34. Again, the Savior is speaking. We'll read the previous verse. "And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left," dividing humanity. "Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." That's where Edna is today. Edna's not in that box behind me. That's only her mortal remains. The tabernacle. The tent in which she lived. Her soul has now entered into the presence of God and realizes, as she never realized before, how precious she is to the God of heaven. My dear friends, I know it would be Edna's desire for me to stress to you today. She said it in the last words of her testimony, how she hoped her friends would read what she said and hear of her experience of God's grace. I know, therefore, that what I am about to say to you should want you to listen to. It's the best known verse in the Bible. God so loved the world, he gave his Son, his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. If you don't receive Christ, you're perishing. That's what that verse teaches. But if you do embrace Christ by faith, you will not perish. Edna didn't perish on the 15th of August. She went to be with Christ, which is far, far better. Bunyan, in his wonderful book, used to be in every English home and many other national homes as well. I don't know if you have a copy of Pilgrim's Progress. What a book that is. It would make you proud to be an Englishman, to know that it came from the pen of an Englishman. And in that book, Bunyan, in his dream, gives a description of the death of Christian and his companion. And he sees them welcomed into heaven, and the gates of heaven open to receive them. And he goes on to describe what it is he sees, and the glory, and the sweet and glorious singing. And at the end of it, as the gates are closing, he says, "Oh, I could wish myself amongst them." You know, there's some of us here today, we envy Edna. We envy Edna. She is in a much better place, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Give thought to these matters today. Think about your soul salvation. Think of the day when you will rest upon the trestle. Give thought to the gospel. Come to Christ. God bless you, and thank you for listening.